So for the next few weeks, we'll be looking at this series that I've called The Life Worth Living. The Life That Is Worth Living. And this topic just came to my mind last week because of a number of things I've just been thinking of. And I believe that God will want us to focus on this as a church for a few weeks. Now, what is the life that is worth living? If you ask different people, I guess people would have different opinions about the life that is worth living. Someone might say to me, life that is worth living is one that is without any kind of suffering. One might say life that is worth living is one where I want to be successful in my career. Someone might say it's life that I want my children to be successful. I want to make sure that they're well brought up. Someone might even say life that's worth living is I want to be an X Factor star. I want to cut a record. I want to be so many different things. So what I'm saying is that for each individual, you'd have in your own opinion, in your own thoughts, the type of life that is worth living. However, what I want to focus on for the next few weeks is to look at the kind of life that is worth really living from God's perspective. Now, am I saying that God's, from God's perspective, it cancels out all our aspirations? It doesn't. But we just want to focus on what God really says about a life that is worth living. So that's what we'll be looking at for the next few weeks. So the first thing I'm going to be looking at as the first installment in this series is the life worth living. But the subsection is what I've called the God has a plan for you. God has a plan for you. And under this, if time permits, I'll be looking at three areas. I'll be looking at the fact that God has a plan for every single individual that is born. Sometimes it might appear that when one looks at one's life or you look at the life of another person, it's sometimes difficult to really agree that, you know what, God has a plan for this person. But the truth of the matter, as we'll see, is that for every human being that is born, God has a plan for them. The second thing we'll look at is the fact that even though God has a plan for every individual that is born, everyone has the choice or a choice in the matter. And thirdly, we'll look at how can we, just on a normal everyday basis, follow God's plan for our lives so that at the end of the day, as we fulfill our own desires in terms of the type of life that we think is worth living, we also want to ensure that we follow God's plan, because I believe that God's plan is always the best because he knows everything. Do you understand? So the first thing we want to look at is the fact that God has an eternal plan for every single one of us, and that plan is good. If we look at Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 11, Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 11, and what that tells us is this. God says, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." So this is quite important, because oftentimes when I talk to people, maybe where people who are non-Christians or even people who are Christians sometimes, one of the questions that I get asked sometimes, and just thinking about it, I think someone mentioned it in a conversation we're having yesterday, is, God is not a good God. If God were good, or if God even exists, why is this happening? Why is this happening? Why has that happened? Why is this person suffering? Why did they kill that person? Do you understand? So, why I'm saying this is that oftentimes the opinions that we have or that people have is that God is not a good God. That God doesn't even care for any single person. He just chucks us on this planet and says, okay, try your best. But the Bible says that's not the case. That's not the case. And God says here, he says, look, I know the plans that I have for you. And they're good plans. He says, plans to prosper you and not to harm you. So God does not harm anybody. He doesn't plan to harm anybody. Do you understand? That is born. And it says to give you hope and a future. So our lives are not just directionless. God hasn't just said, okay, go ahead and do what you want and make it along the way. No. He says, look, I want to give you hope and I want to give you a future. So God's plan gives us hope. It gives us a future and it's a good plan. Do you understand? So that's the first thing I want to say here. The second thing about God's plan is this, Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 5. Now, it's quite important that we really agree together with the fact that with the things that God really thinks about us as a foundation for what we're doing. Do you understand? The next one is this about God's plan. It says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Now, he was talking about Jeremiah here, but it is similar to every single one of us. Before any human being is born, before they are even conceived at all, God has a conversation with them and he says, okay, for this person, this is the plan that I have for you. You're going to be a prophet. You're going to do this. You're going to do that. So that plan is embedded in every human being. Not only does God have a plan for us before we're born, he says for every individual, he has a specific plan for you. So for the hundreds and millions and billions of people, before anyone is born, God says there's something I have made you to do. There is something I have gifted you in. Do you understand? Now, why am I saying this? I'm saying this because there are certain things in God's plan that, how should I put it? He has, for everything that you need to do, and I'll come to that in a minute, he has gifted you in that particular area. Now, what does this mean? You now realize that. Now, again, I'm going to make a distinction. This is not predestination. It has nothing to do with, okay, God will determine who gets born again or who becomes a Christian. No, no, no. This is not predestination. This is talking about what God plans. So it's like, for example, you have a son or a daughter, and as a parent, you look at them and you say, okay, I'd like this, based on what I can see in this person, I'd like them to, you know, be a musician. I want them to be a teacher and all that. So that's your plan when they're young. But obviously, as they go along, they now make their own choices. Now, those choices might be in line with what you've planned or not. So it's not predestination. And we look at the fact that even though God has planned certain things for you and I, we still have the choice to say, you know what? I'm just going to do things the way I think I should. So this is not predestination, but God is saying that for every human being, there is something that he has placed in you to achieve the plan that he has for you. And that thing that he has placed in you has nothing to do with whether you're a Christian or not, in most cases. We'll come to that in a minute. So you realize that there's some people who are just naturally gifted. They can just roll out of bed and they can sing and make the sky blue or green. They're so gifted. You know, there's some people that in certain things, you know, it just happens like that. Meanwhile, for you, I was saying that for the guitar, it took me quite a while to learn to play. And I, you know, practiced. And I said, okay, I've gone past the first stage now. Now I don't want to be, you know, reading the song book anymore. I want to just, someone sings a song, and I can just play it like that. And I tried to do that, called playing by ear. Brother Steve is smiling a bit. And, you know, I bought so many books online, downloaded the videos, and they said, okay, this is how you play by ear. And I studied it, and I studied it. And you know what? Nothing. I just said, you know what? I'm just going to leave it. I'll cram all the notes from the songbook, and I'll play it that way. Then, one day, for our daughter here, Sister Tish. Oh, so she started playing, reading the book as well. And suddenly I realized that without even effort. You can sing a song and she'll just, okay, what's the key? Find it. And she starts playing along. Ah, and I'm like, hang on. I'm your father. I'm the one that gave, I didn't tell her this, but I just, I'm the one that gave birth to you. And I've been practicing and trying this thing for years. And for you, you just rolled out of bed and you just started doing it. How did that happen? Well, my excuse is the fact that I believe that for some people, God will give you a special enablement in certain areas. So that's why when you see people who are stars, in quote, they can sing, you see people who are this and that, you're wondering, wow, how come this person is like this? In most cases, God has gifted them with that thing. It's almost inborn. Do you understand? So why am I using this example? I'm using this example in terms of God's plan to say that, look, before you were born, God had already gifted you and planned certain things for your life. And those plans are good plans, as we read in the previous passage. Do you understand? So that's the first thing that we see about the life that is worth living. It is a life that understands that you're not just a random human being walking on the face of the earth with no purpose. You are not just one human being who God has no interest in at all, and God is just leaving you to try and sort your life out. No. God has a plan for you, and that plan is good. The second thing I want to look at is the fact that even though God has this fantastic plan for every human being, we still have a choice. If we look at Deuteronomy chapter 30 verse 19, Deuteronomy chapter 30 verse 19, this was in the time of Israel. God had brought them up from Egypt. He had told them about his laws. He had told them, I'm going to take you. I'm going to take you to the promised land. So on and so forth. But do you know what now happened? Even though God had made all these promises to them, brought them out of Egypt, told them that he was going to take them to the promised land. So talking about the second thing, that even though God has a plan for us, we still have a choice. Every human being has a choice in the matter. God has not made us like robots and winds us up and just drops us. No. One thing that God has given every single human being is free will. So even though God has created every one of us, we still can say yes or no to God, which I find to be quite interesting. The all-powerful God, he still leaves us the choice to say, you know what? Yes or no. And in the case of Israel, when he brought them out of Egypt, he told them, I'm going to take you to the promised land, so on and so forth. But he made a statement in this Deuteronomy chapter 30 verse 19. He says, this day I call the heavens and the earth as witnesses against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and cursings. Now choose life so that you and your children may live. So God says, I've set something before you, life and death. But God being so good, he didn't say, go ahead. He said, however, my preference is that you choose life. It's just like, for example, you're going to buy a pair of shoes for your daughter and all that, and you get to the shoe shop, and maybe she's growing a bit older. She's like now about 12, 13, so you can't just stick anything on their foot anymore. And you get to a shop, and there are two pairs of shoes. There's one pair that, man, it's like, it has all the rainbow colors, purple, green, orange. And you know that's kind of like not the kind of shoe you want, because that one's for a circus. It's a circus, a shoe for a circus. But you want to buy school shoes, and the school shoes need to be black or brown, one single color. And you get into the shop and you tell your daughter, okay, I don't want to make it seem like I'm, forcing you to buy any pairs of shoes and all that. And it's okay. Those are two shoes there, pairs. Pick one. You know what I mean? Are you smiling? Did that happen to your sister Melanie? Just kidding. And those two pairs of shoes are there, but the parents is in their mind, they're like, you know what? That one is, I think is a lot better for your school and all that. They haven't said go for that one. And the child is like, you know what, mommy or daddy, I like the rainbow one because it's really shiny and so on and so forth. Do you understand? But in your mind, it's like, you know, that's not really the one I, you know what I mean? So God is saying here, on a more serious note, you have life and death, but choose life. Choose life. So the choice is still with us. That's why we find people who maybe don't want to have anything to do with God. There are people out there and they're like, you know, I don't want to go to church. I don't want to do anything at all. I don't believe God exists. So on and so forth. So you find people who have made the choice, maybe consciously, subconsciously, maybe influenced, but to say, you know what? I don't want to have anything to do with God at all. I want to be my own person. Do you understand? But God is telling every single one of them, choose life. Choose life. So when we go out to the streets or we talk to our friends about Christ, do you understand? To people who don't know Christ, we're actually voicing God's thoughts to them. And we're saying, you know what? Choose life. Choose life. And God will keep telling every single individual that doesn't know him till they die, choose life. Choose life. Choose life. Why? Because he wants us to fulfill his plan. He doesn't want us to go and choose death. So we're looking at the fact that God has a plan for us. It's a good plan. We've seen, but we have the choice to make. Every human being has a choice to make. Now, the last section I'm going to be looking at is this. How do we follow God's plan? I'll look at a number of things. Now, the very first thing about God's plan for every individual is the plan of salvation. If you look at 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. God says something there. He says, God, that's referring to who? God wants all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. So, the first thing is that God wants every human being to be saved, to know him through Christ, to become a believer. He says, all people. If you look at John 3:16, which is a popular one, it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. So the very first thing that God wants us to do, or wants every human being to do, is to choose him. The very first thing. So even though God has gifted every human being to do specific things, even though God has a plan for every single human being, the first thing he wants everybody to do is to choose life, to choose eternal salvation through Christ. The Bible tells us in the book of Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8, Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8, it says something there about, it says, for it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. It is not from yourself, it is a gift of God. So not only does God want us to be saved, he has said it is a free gift. You don't have to work for it. However, the choice is still left with you. Coming back to choice. So that's the first thing that God wants us to do. Now, the second thing is this about God's plan for us. And it's in the book of 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 3. And this is to say that for God's plan for every human being, he has made a provision for it. If you switch to the King James Version, now, the King James Version says, according as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. So, he's saying that in terms of following God's plan, there's the first part where one has to be born again. He wants us to be born again. However, the second thing is that God has given us everything we need for life and godliness. Now, when he says for life, life is for the things that you want to do, like your job, your school, and all that. And godliness is regarding the spiritual things of God. Now, everybody that enters into this life, God gives them the one for life automatically. It just gives them. That's why you have You know, people can are better at doing certain things than other things. So that's there. The godliness one, we're only coming to that part when one becomes born again. So what you find is that people go through life, some people, God has gifted them and they live life. Not because they're Christians, but because that's what God has just gifted them with. But they don't fulfill the second part, which is even more important, godliness, our knowledge of Christ. So he's saying here, his divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through the knowledge of him. So it is through the knowledge of God that we have this ability to know what God has provided for us. So that's the second thing. Now, the third thing, I have a few more to go. The third thing is this. As we go through life, we all know that life is quite bumpy sometimes. You know, there's sometimes that I just want to say, you know what, God, I want to just go to the Bahamas, live on the beach, or maybe Martinique. I don't know if the beach is as good as that. And all these troubles, I don't want any of it again. But obviously, you know, wherever you are, there's always. So the third thing God wants us to know about his plan is this. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And that says, we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. So someone might say to themselves that, look, so many bad things have happened to me. I've gone through so many things. God, my life has been a real story of challenges. Can your plan really work for my life? Can it? Or should I just forget about it, just do what I can, and just help me to, you know, just make it to the end? And that's it. I'll be satisfied with that. But God tells us something in this Romans chapter 8, verse 28. He says that for every bad thing that has happened to anyone of us, or any situations that we've gone through that has made it seem like, you know, there's no hope, God says you don't have to stop there. That he can work out everything in your life and bring good out of it. Now, am I saying God is the one that does bad things to us? No. God isn't the one that does bad things to us. Bad things happen because we're in this world. Do you understand? But he's saying that irrespective of what has happened to any individual, once you become born again, because he says, for those who love him, once you become born again, all the things that have happened to you that have caused you great pain, that have made it seem like your life can never align with God's will again, God says he can turn it around. Do you understand? So he can make it in such a way that even though you've experienced those things will not determine the things that God still wants to do in your life. That's why he gives us the scripture. Now, I'm just going to say one more thing. And still in the plan of God for us, I just want to use this as a basis for this for today's message. The other thing is this. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 to 9. 1 Peter chapter 5. Verse 6 to 9. He also says something there. Verse 6 to 9. Okay, if you start from verse 7. There's 7 to 9. But I'll start anyway. He says, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. You can just leave it to says verse 7. It says, cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. So verse 7 is fine. So, in this journey of life, God is saying, you know what? Even though I have a plan for you, even though you might have made a choice to follow me, even though I have provided everything that you need, even though I can, you know, I will turn everything around that has been aimed at bad to good, bring good out of every evil thing that has happened to you, there's one thing I also want you to do. I want you to cast every anxiety on me, God says. So, God is just telling us that along his plan for us, we're not alone. He's not just saying, okay, fine, you've chosen me. There you go. No. He's saying as you go through life, every anxiety you face, everything that makes you anxious, everything that makes you fearful, everything that makes you unsure, Don't deal with it alone. Why? God says, give them to me. Do you understand what I mean? So I'm going to stop there today. And the reason why I'm just going through this as the first basis that God has a plan for us is the fact that he actually does. So I want us to see God as the Bible says he sees us. We're not just struggling along and just uncared for by God. God has an interest in every single one of us. And as we begin to embrace God's plan for us, that, you know what, God actually has a plan for me. God can use everything that has been in my life that has not been too comfortable. He can bring good for my future. Why? Because as we do this, then we can begin to live the life that is worth living. Do you understand? Let us just pray this morning.